Isaiah 36 and verse 1. The prophecy of Isaiah said, "Now it came to pass in the 14th year of King Hezekiah that Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the defense cities of Judah and took them. And the king of Assyria sent Rabshakeh from Lachish to Jerusalem and stood by the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field." In verse 4, this Rabshakeh said unto them, as he's speaking outside the wall, "Say ye now to Hezekiah, your king, thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this wherein you trust? I say, sayest thou, but they are but vain words. I have counsel and strength for war. Now on whom do you trust that you rebel against me and the king of Assyria? Lo, thou trustest in the staff of this broken reed on Egypt, wherein if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all that trust in him. But if you say to me, we trust in the Lord our God, is it not he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah hath taken away and said to Judah and to Jerusalem, you shall worship before this altar? Now therefore give pledges, I pray thee, to my master, the king of Assyria, and I will give thee 2,000 horses, if thou be able on thy part to set riders upon them." And so, as we continue on in this chapter, this Rabshakeh, he continues to mock the king of Judah. He continues to mock the people, so much so that he begins to speak in their own language. And they come up and they said, "We understand the Assyrian language. Don't speak in the Hebrew tongue." Because he's trying to intimidate. He's trying to get the army who was left with Hezekiah to lay down their arms, and he's promising them certain things. So he begins to speak in their Hebrew tongue. And they're saying, "We understand Assyrian." And so he goes and does it anyway. He's mocking the God of Israel, and he's mocking Hezekiah, and he's mocking all those who he thinks are putting their trust in the Lord. But then we see this in chapter 37. "It came to pass when King Hezekiah heard these things that was spoke by his enemies, he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord." That's very good for instruction for us. Verse 5 through 7. "So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah." So the king is praying, and now the king says, "Go get Isaiah." And Isaiah said unto them, "Thus shall you say to your master," your king, King Hezekiah, "Thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words that thou hast heard, wherein the servants of the king of Assyria has blasphemed me." We just heard about the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell upon Christ. So when people reproach you for the gospel, they're reproaching Christ as well. That's what he's saying. "Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and return unto his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own hand." Verse 10. "Thus shall ye speak to Hezekiah of Judah, saying, let not," this is Rabshakeh again, this is him talking to the people at the wall, "Thus shall ye speak to Hezekiah, the king of Judah, saying, let not thy God, in whom thou trustest, deceive you, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria." So he's blaspheming some more. Now look with me at verses 14 through 20. "And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers." So now he's writing them letters, and read it. "And Hezekiah went up unto the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord, saying, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, and thou hast made heaven and earth. Incline thine ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see, and hear all the words of Sennacherib, which has sent to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the king of Assyria, they have laid waste to all the nations and their countries, and they have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone, therefore they have destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord, our God, save us from this hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou only. I get my message in verse 5 of chapter 36. This Reb Shekiah, he said, now on whom do you trust? On whom do you trust? The enemies of our God, this question was posed by the Lord's enemy. Yet it is brought up to each child of the king daily, I say, at work, at play, or even sometimes with family, or secular friends or neighbors. This question is brought up frequently. And they may not say it specifically like this. On whom do you trust? Why do the church that you go to, you think is the only church? Or why do you say that it is the gospel? There's other gospels. Why do you say this? Why is it not? So you're saying all these other folks are wrong. You're saying all these, this, they're, how do you address such a pointed question? Do you compromise and say, well, we don't think we're the only ones, even though the Scripture says there's one gospel, one faith, one Lord, one baptism? What is our answer? What is our answer to this gainsaying world, be it an acquaintance or a stranger that we just meet for the first time at a restaurant or wherever? What do we say? In whom, on whom do you trust? Well, I got this outline from Spurgeon. It's a threefold answer. First, we trust God the Father. And we agree with Hezekiah in chapter 37 in verse 16, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Their gods are no gods. Their gods can be made to feel pity and sympathy and side with rebels against the grace of God. Their gods are not our gods. Their God is not our God, neither is their Savior our Savior. He tries to save if you'll let Him. He leaves the final work of redemption and into your hand of decision. You're being riding on a decision car or being baptized or being sprinkled or whatever it may be. But we, whom do we trust? We trust God the Father. We trust in the God of this whole universe. His dominion is an everlasting one in which He rules and answers to no one. We submit to you that He chose us from before time, and He, with His choice, will see to it that every single solitary elect will be brought safely home. He will guide us and teach us and even correct us until we are finally and everlastingly brought before Him by His infinite grace and love. And only the God of Scripture can do that. He doesn't consult our will. He doesn't ask us our opinion. He is not furthered by our agendas. He is God alone. Thou art God alone, O Creator over heaven and earth. We know that this God, our God, cannot fail or be thwarted, and He alone is totally and completely sovereign over all things. Amen. It's the end of it. It's the end of it. This is the God that we trust. Look with me at Isaiah 40. Just a very, very few passages. Isaiah 40, verses 9 through 11. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Chapter 41 of Isaiah, verses 8 through 14. But thou, Israel, art my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, thou art my servant. I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing. They should, that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shall not find them, even them that contend with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying to thee, fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. And I like this one. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. There's one of these days need to go through Deuteronomy. There is so much in this. My, my, my. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Look at this verse. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 6. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thy heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul that thou mayest live. Who is in control of every single thing, including, most importantly to us, our personal salvation? I will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed. Every single one of God's elect shall hear his voice through the preaching of the truth and be brought unto eternal salvation. This is the one in whom we trust, God the Father. Secondly, we trust God the Son. He's called the Anointed One, the Way, the Truth. He's styled in Scriptures as the Life, Emmanuel, the God-man, our Savior, our Redeemer. He, it is, whom we trust to literally save those whom the Father chose from before time. Them He must also bring with Him into glory. We trust that He, the second person in the Sacred Trinity, took upon Himself our nature except sin, bore all our iniquities, and thoroughly purged away our vile corruptions, and placed upon us His pure robe of righteousness. And that, we trust, will make us kings and priests unto our God. We can approach Him, for we are like Him. He it is, the Son, that has sacrificed His life for ours. He it is that left His heavenly abode to fetch His sheep, even though we, from birth, were leprous and hated Him without a cause. And we trust that he will intercede for us. He will plead our cause and justify us in God's sight. We not only singularly trust the Son, but we love him because he first loved us. We adore him because he is worthy of adoration. We worship and praise him for this he commands us to do, and we readily obey him. We readily obey him. We trust Christ, the Son of God. And as Bruce read this morning in 1 Peter, Christ Jesus, whom ye have not seen, you love, in whom, though you now see him not, yet believe. That's trust. We trust the Son. Psalms chapter 2, he says, kiss the Son, trust the Son. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all they that put their trust, put their trust in him. Kiss the Son. Trust the Son. Bless the Son. And we do by God's sovereign free grace. Now, told Melinda I was going to use this as an example, and I found a place to use this. If you've been to Niagara Falls and you read a bunch of the history there, there was the first person who ever crossed Niagara Falls, a Frenchman. I can't remember his name. Doesn't matter. Frenchman. And he crossed it, I don't know how many times, it's all documented. He crossed it, he sat down, he laid down, he lowered stuff down to the falls, he would get a cup of water, drink a cup of water, he walked across it on stilts, he walked across it blindfolded, forwards, backwards, he pushed a wheelbarrow across there, he put up a table and chairs, and had a sandwich right in the middle of the falls. And the whole time, his manager watched this, and he said, you have seen me do this tens and tens and tens of times. He said, yes, I have. He said, do you believe that I could cross that any way I wanted to? He says, yes, I believe you can. He said, do you believe that I could do it backwards, forwards, I could crawl? He says, yes, I do. He said, do you believe me? He said, yes, I do. And he said, get on my back. And he walked across there with his manager on his back. Now, I don't know about you, but not this fella. That's a poor example. But he put his trust completely in that man and lived to tell it. And so we more so trust God the Father. We trust God the Son. And lastly, we trust God the Holy Spirit. We cannot help but trust this, our guide, our companion, the scripture says, our enabler. He's the one that grows us up in grace. He will show the things of Christ to us from his word. That's why his word, you can't separate the gospel, the salvation of his elect from the word. He uses this book, he uses his truth, not our imagination of who we think God is, our speculation. This book tells us who God is. Who God the Father is, who God the Son is, and tells us who the Spirit is. He is our blessed helper. Turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, 15, 16, and 17. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray, this is Christ, pray the Father, that he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. The Comforter, our Helper, blessed Helper indeed. He started this lovely work of growth of grace and will see it through. We trust him. We put all of our belief and all of our trust in everything we are. Because the Father said this was going to happen. The Son actually did that which his Father said he was going to do. And the Holy Spirit, we're not left to ourselves. The Holy Spirit will gather us, and we trust him like we trust the Father and we trust the Son. We trust him to do what he said he would do. He would bring every one of his lost sheep back into the fold. He enlightens our darkness. He lightens our day and our night by shining forth Christ into the heart and soul. He dwells in us, shaping us, molding us to be conformed to the image of his Son. Isn't that what, I mean, that's the believer. The believer has some basic desires. The men were talking about, we have some basic desire. We desire to continually be shown our weaknesses so we can lay that all at Christ's feet. But we continue to desire to see Christ glorified in our lives. We really desire to honor and glorify him. And we feel convicted when we are more concerned about ourselves and are looking to ourselves instead of looking outward and to helping the brethren. If you're a believer, this bothers you. But rest assured that which he started this good work, he'll perform it, he'll finish it. He will shape us and mold us to his own blessed image. Then he will take us up to be with the saints in glory, for he is called our blessed comforter in every situation. Every struggle, every trial, he is who comforts his people. He it is that comforts his people. So you ask, whom do we trust? We trust God the Father. We trust that he is not taken by surprise or anything happens by accident. I was reading some author the other day about the sparrows and the hairs on our head, and everything is under his dominion and control. Every atom, every molecule, even things that we can't see yet. We haven't got power for a microscope. Everything we see out in the universe is under his dominion and control. We trust that he has chosen us. And the Father chose us in before time. And we trust the Son, that the Son came and fetched. He fetched all of us Mephibosheths. Though we were lame, though we were blind, though we were halt, though we had no eyes to see, we hated him. There was no beauty in him that we should desire him. We trust the Holy Spirit. Take the things which Christ has done and place them in our heart and make us a peculiar people. Yes, oftentimes you look at us, our interests, our cares, our concerns, a lot of things, there's no difference in the world. But when you get a believer down and you sit them down and somebody dies and you begin to talk to them about death, or somebody gets sick and you begin to talk to them about sickness, or you've been promoted at a job or been demoted at a job, and you begin to talk to them, woe is us if we do not differ, because we are different. We are a peculiar people. We're set aside, that we're separated unto him. And the Holy Spirit, there's not an ounce of self-righteous. When the Holy Spirit is dealing with this, if it's self-righteous, if it's holier than thou, it's us, it's sin, it's the flesh. But that's not the Holy Spirit's work. He makes us more like Christ. And all we can do is own up. I didn't have anything to do with it. Actually, I was running the other way. Actually, I was seeking to get better by physicians and this is it. And finally, I just grew worse. And then, by the Spirit of grace and supplications, he showed me that unless I can touch the hem of Christ's garment, if I can see Christ, if I can look to Christ, if I can look and live, but it's if he will. Lord, if you will, you can make me whole. That's who we trust. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And this is what we say in closing. Now unto him that is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. If we trust in anything else, it is sure death, sure judgment, and sure damnation. But may we trust, by his grace, in the triune God, who is able to do far more exceeding than we can ask. Lord, bless the preaching and reading of his word. Bruce, would you close us?